What's up, everybody? Welcome to Clocks Running, the podcast, Everything Flag Football Officials. I'm your host, Jacob.
And I'm Ant.
What's going on, man? Did you recover from
Vegas? Hey, what's up? I feel like my lips are a little less chapped. My sunburn is starting to even out. Look at this watch.
Dude, that is a sunburn. Fantastic tan line. Yeah. Fantastic tan line.
So I definitely made the mistake of the first day I wore short sleeve, and so then I had no choice but to wear long sleeves the other 2 days.
That's brutal. I had a tan line going right down the middle of my arm.
We'll get all into Vegas. We're here at a special time this week. My daughter was playing her last three flag football games for high school last night, so we didn't record last night, so we're here middle of the day on a Friday, because why not? That's just the kind of thing we do. And we have a completely global episode today.
I think so. We're gonna kind of do a touch around the world.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. Jacob, who do we got on first?
I'm so pumped. Been listening to the podcast she comes out with. Please welcome Ambra to the show.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for having Hello. Me.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. Ambra, we are so excited about your podcast and what you're doing recently. But you have been involved with flag football and tackle football, football in general. And so anytime we bring a new guest on, we just want to give you the chance to kind of share your, like, superhero origin story. So tell us all about what got you into football and what's brought you to this point in your flag football journey.
Okay. So I'm originally from the Netherlands. So my mom is Dutch and my dad is Italian. So I was raised in the Netherlands. I studied there until I was, like, 19. And then I decided to move to Portugal together with my twin sister for studies to kind of finish our masters. And that's where we kind of got friends that were playing American football, men, of course. And that was the first time where we actually got to know about the sport. Like before that, like in the Netherlands, I just didn't know it existed. So we started watching their games. We started to watch the NFL and we started to really like it. But we came from soccer, my sister and I. So I played soccer until I was probably 22, 23. So because my dad was a professional soccer player in the Netherlands and in Italy. So, yeah, so we were brought up with soccer like most European families, I think. So we played soccer at a pretty high level, my sister and I. We were actually on our way to the national team of the Netherlands. We were, I think, 14 when we got scouted. So, yeah, we were very young. But then we got studies going on. We had pretty bad injuries, both of us. We had all the same injuries. It's crazy.
Truly twinning, huh?
I mean, even in everything the same. It's awful. So when I was 17, I tore my ACL on one side. And when I was 19, I tore my ACL on the other side. So those were crucial moments in that soccer career. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, studies, decided to move to Portugal and kind of just leave that soccer background behind. When I came to Portugal, as I said, I met some people that were playing American football. So we started to know about football. And then we kind of decided to start a female team right there. But there was nothing, like zero. There was nothing going on for girls in flag or tackle football. So with these friends, we were like, hey, let's start a tryout and see who shows up. And if in any case, like someone shows up, you know? So we kind of just grabbed the girlfriends from all the guys that were playing football already. And we just like friends of friends of friends. And we started with this tryout in the park. And it was so much fun. However, I thought, I don't know why, that we were going to try out for tackle football. So we were in the park throwing around and having fun. I was like, hey guys, so let's move on to the tackling part. And they were like, what are you talking about? I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, no, we're playing flag football. I was, what is flag football? I was like, what is it? I didn't even know what flag football was. I didn't even know it existed because all I knew at that point was tackle football. So they were like, no, we're going to start with this, you know, easier version of football and less contact. So it's a good way to start. I was like, oh, okay, well, let's do it. So actually the tryout was a success and we started this first female flag football team in Portugal. I fell in love with it straight away, even though I thought it was tackle football. What we did was we played against men because there were no girls out there besides our team because it was the first team with female players. And so we played against men. We were actually pretty good. We traveled to Spain because, you know, Portugal and Spain are close to each other. So we played some tournaments in Spain where the level was already pretty high. So that's what we did for like maybe 2 years. And then I was like, okay, guys, I really want to start a tackle team right now. So we did so. We started the first female tackle team in Portugal, 7-on-7, obviously. But again, the problem was we didn't have any teams to play against. So we had to travel to Spain. And it was like, it was a lot for us. Like we were practicing maybe one or two times a week because the girls were studying, the girls were working, didn't really have great conditions. Then we had to like travel like 7 hours to Spain for a game. Like it was really like, it was all out of this passion for football. Yeah. But obviously it wasn't really sustainable. So then there was a point where like I was always sharing my love for the game like, to the girls, to everyone in Portugal. I was like, guys, we have to like grow this game. But at that point, it was really difficult to get people enthusiastic for the female game. So there was a team in Portugal, like a male team, and they asked me if I wanted to join them for the season because they had lots of injuries and they saw my passion. I was always practicing. They were like, hey, you want to join our team to play? So you got some, you know, time to actually play the game because you don't get so many opportunities. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like I didn't even think about getting injured, playing against men, not having so much experience myself. But unfortunately, the federation at that time, they were like, nope, we don't have any rules about females playing with men. So that's a no. And yeah, so it didn't happen. I was a little bit disappointed, but at the same time, I was like, all right, I cannot do anything. Yeah. So then in the meantime, I started doing my PhD at the same time. So I was building these teams. I was doing my PhD. Then I finished my PhD and I decided to move to Italy because I was like, I kind of feel like because it was 8 years, I've been in Portugal for 8 years. And I felt like I needed a change. So I moved to Italy. So it was the first time for me actually living in Italy because I only went to Italy for holidays to see my family. And here I got picked up by the tackle team, the Italian tackle team. So the coach, he reached out to me. He was like, hey, Umbra, we've seen your, because I was always sharing my videos, not necessarily to show off, but I was always so happy to be on the field. And I was always sharing my videos, like very simple videos of me doing exercises by myself during COVID and stuff. And so the head coach of the Italian national team of tackle football, he sent me a text. He was like, hey, Umbra, we see like your passion and you're always practicing. Do you have an Italian passport? Because we see your name. And I was like, I don't, because I didn't have that at that time. I only had a Dutch one, but I can have it. And he was like, well, if you can have it, we want to invite you for the trials. And I was like, okay. So I think maybe the week after I flew to the Netherlands to get my passport, came back and went to the team trials. So I made the tackle team and we played against Spain. But very soon after, tackle football kind of folded in Italy. So I was like, oh my God, like what am I going to do now? So I decided to join like a third division male team in Italy. They were very nice to have me for their practices. And the same thing happened here. Like they wanted me to play with them. Again, the federation was like, we don't know. So right. No. So it's been always like everything was always working against me. It's like, oh man, it's so difficult. Anyway, so then, after I think it was in 2021 that they selected me for the flag football team of Italy. So that's where I think my whole journey in flag football started. Like, of course, it started in Portugal, but when things really got serious, it was when I started my journey with the national team here. And yeah, so that's I think the biggest part of this whole background. And then, yeah, I don't know if you guys have any questions. I talked so much.
No, no, it's okay. That's great. That's exactly what we wanted.
Okay. Again, not only were you one of the first guests to show up early, but you actually gave an explanation of like your journey through football. Everybody should be taking notes from you right now.
Exactly. We're used to maybe like, yeah, so 5 years ago, Jim asked me if I wanted to come out and play. I said it was dumb. I went out there and played, and we played, and now we're playing. That's usually what we get. So that was fantastic. Right. Thank you.
That makes me happy. Okay, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. No, because I told this story a couple of times already, and still I'm like, I'm so happy where it is now, flag football, because years ago it was a struggle for me to get a team together, to get people enthusiastic for the sports, you know. So but yeah, so in 2021 I played my first international tournament with the Italian team, which was the World Championships in Jerusalem. And from then on, things started to take off, you know, with the national team. And I'm also a board member of the Dutch Federation, because I felt like since in the Netherlands, to me, nothing was really going on about football for a while, because I lived in the Netherlands for almost like the biggest part of my life. And I didn't even know football existed. So I was like, hey, maybe I can help them with my experience in the past years. So I sent them a text because there was actually a job opening was there on the website, and I was like, hey, can I help you with at least like the marketing part? So I started doing some marketing stuff for the Dutch Federation, and now I'm actually a board member. I'm doing both. So yeah, and even there I feel like football is finally growing a little bit, and we're actually gonna have for the first time the girls competing in the European championships this year.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Oh, awesome. So the girls from the Netherlands are for the first time going to have this international competition. So it really makes me happy that, you know, things are finally taking off in different countries. And yeah, it just, yeah, makes me incredibly happy that I could contribute to a few of these things, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know if you know this, but I have some issues with geography. Jacob always points it out. But
it's terrible.
I gotta back up a little bit. So it takes 7 hours to get from Portugal to Spain.
It depends where. Like, of course, going just across the border is a few hours, but I think our tournament was somewhere far away and it took us a long time. Yeah.
Okay.
So it really depends where in Spain.
So if you look on the map, Ant, it's like putting
I've heard that like you can see like a lot of the major cities in Europe like in a very short period of time. Is that accurate?
It is. You can. Okay. Like with plane, you can get to quite some cities, or even by plane, you know, it's fairly easy. Like compared to the US, definitely easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I just had a sidebar there. Sorry about that.
Please forgive my friend here.
So you brought up, you know, being able to help like the Dutch team get going and things like that. You know, just throughout your journey, you talked about, you know, really where you weren't even allowed to play on some of these teams. So, you know, what's the biggest like change that you've seen over, let's just say, the last 5 years in the growth of flag football throughout the whole world?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first of all, there's more people playing flag football. Second, I think there's more athletic people playing flag football, because when I started, you saw lots of unathletic bodies on the field, which doesn't necessarily mean you're not a good player. I don't want to say that, but it just got more evolved in that sense too, I feel like. And I think also, since it's more serious, people will start training for it more, and therefore will get more athletic. But yeah, if I compare the level of the sport, like now, like compared to when I started with the national team, it's been like a huge growth. Like compared to, for example, the World Championships in 2021 in Jerusalem, and seeing the European Championships, for example, sorry, the World Championships in Finland last year, mm-hmm. Huge, huge growth. Every country has grown ever since. So obviously there's still like a huge gap between the top four maybe, and then number 5, 6, 7, 8 and further down. But I do feel like, yeah, like the level has been increasing so rapidly. which is amazing, obviously, because it's going to be an Olympic sport.
All right. Yeah. So, with the Olympics on the horizon, you know, I think in the States, we're hearing from a lot of professional athletes, you know, primarily NFL players, talking about their interest in playing. You know, even on the women's side, Caitlin Clark came out and said she was interested in playing. Do you in Italy see any of the professional athletes there expressing interest in playing? Is there any kind of, is there any big athletic names that are standing out saying, hey, I want to do this as well?
Not yet that I know of, but once it will get more popular, probably we will. Yeah. And there's even some college girls that have like Italian roots that, you know, have expressed interest in playing for the Italian team. So that's going to help us a lot, like increasing the levels, because last year we had Katie Sowers as our head coach, and she obviously she coaches in college. And so she knows all the college players. And she actually told us about a few girls that had Italian, you know, roots that were interested. So those are things that are going to help us a lot if we can get those girls here. The problem is always like the budget and everything, because we actually did bring a quarterback last year, Olivia. She also had Italian roots, but you know, like she's really good. And she's actually, I think she's at Ottawa right now. Yeah, she is with Katie and Liz. But then again, like budget wise, it's always difficult. Like they have to pay their own travels and you know, so yeah, hopefully in the near future, there's going to be more budget for all these things, because it's going to help us grow the sports, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good.
Is there any like pushback from like Italian players that are like, no, we don't want Americans coming over and taking our spots?
We haven't really talked about it much, but me personally, I think it's one of the only ways to really grow the sports, like all those imports in the ELF, for example. So obviously there has to be like a maximum, like we can say, okay, maybe two or three imports, but yeah. And I can imagine some girls don't like that, but if we want to grow, it's really necessary. Even if it's just one player or two players or just a quarterback, you know, it's going to make a huge difference. So I think it's only going to be good for everybody, like at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of the IFAB Championship, which is going to be in Paris this year, right? How are you feeling about Italy's chances both on the men's and women's side of winning that?
Right. So first we got the World Games because, you know, Spain dropped out. So Italy is going, the girls only. So I think it really depends on our performance there, but I think that once we've done that, like it's going to be our second time, by the way, because we already played the World Games in Alabama. I think honestly, I mean, the results have not been great yet, but I think we have so much to offer and it just didn't come out yet. So I think we're going to do, and each time we're competing, we're doing better. Like we're always somewhere in that top eight, you know, which is not bad. So I have great expectations for the team. We have a whole new coaching staff again, which I am not really in favor of, because we each time we start all over again. But I think with this new coaching staff, which is all like Italian, we only have like Italian coaches, like OCDC head coach. Yeah. So it's all new, but they really know the Italian flag football landscape of female football. So that's a huge advantage, I think.
Absolutely.
So I think we're going to do really good. And right now we're in the process of the trials. So next week is our last trial. And then they're going to be deciding who is going to the World Games and the European Championships as well. So still like a very exciting phase. But yeah, they've been saying for a long time that they want to focus on the younger players, which hasn't happened yet, because apparently the senior players are still better. just saying. But I have to say our youth teams are doing super, super well. So once they're, you know, they're growing up, I think it's going to be amazing for us. But until there, you know, there's still senior players playing and having fun. So, and we're doing a pretty good job. Yeah. But I'm really excited for the future of these younger players, because it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, so we know a lot about the U.S. trials and kind of how that process works. And they started with 60 players, both men's and women's, for the first round of trials. How many players were invited to the first round of trials there?
So, for example, last year when Katie came for the first time, there were like 80 people, but it was like for everybody, basically.
Okay.
This year, because we were like, we only knew so last minute that we were going to the World Games, they only invited 35. It never happened before, because, you know, we only had two trials to decide who's going to the World Games, because by the end of April, they need to know our roster. So we were like a bit in a hurry. So yeah, this time 35. So I passed the first round. So next round is next week. And I think there's 20 something left. So yeah, let's see what's going to happen. I'm curious. I don't know. Like I fingers crossed, because I've been injured for a long time. So I was on the roster for almost every year, because they were always hoping that I was coming back. I think they were hoping. Yeah. But then, yeah, I had to skip for a few years because I had a Achilles rupture, and now finally I'm back. So I really, really, really pray that, you know, I'm going to make the team this year.
Well, first of all, congratulations for getting as far as you have already, especially with the recovering from something like that. That was actually something I was looking to go into as far as question wise. Last year you served as one of the coaches on the team. So this year you're able to try back. You're able to try out. You got through the first round of trials. How did it feel to get back out there?
Yeah, man, it's great. Like, I have not been. Sorry. Oh my God, I thought I put it on silent. Just give me.
And that ringtone was brought to you by Tacky Bar.
Dang it, right now, everybody is okay. It's
all good. You're good.
Yeah. So it felt amazing. Like, it's been 2 years, because the rehab went really, really slow for some reason, because I ruptured my Achilles completely and I dislocated my ankle.
Oof.
So, yeah, this happened in 2023. In May, when I was playing tackle football in Cali with the Cali War in LA. So I got surgery right there, because it was like something that had to have surgery very quickly. But yeah, the recovery, like according to my surgeon, was supposed to be taking like 9 months.
Yeah.
Well, it took me almost 2 years. And yeah, I mean, I talked to a lot of people that had an injury like this. And the experiences have been so different. Like, there's some people after 6 months were doing everything, some people after 9 months, some people after 1 year and a half. So it's so different. And my case was also very unique, because I dislocated my ankle and I ruptured my Achilles. Plus, I waited a whole month before getting surgery because I was scared. And I was like, no, I'm fine. So it was 1 month that I thought that I just had, like, I don't know, maybe an ankle sprain.
All right.
So, like, for 1 month, I was walking around. I was going to the gym, limping around, by the way, not walking. limping around.
Oh, my God.
I was just pretending I was okay, because we were in the playoffs. I was like, I need to play the playoffs.
But you played through that?
I didn't. I couldn't play. Yeah. So, like, after a month, I was like, all right, like, let me just get myself together and do this MRI and just know the truth. And, well, the truth was very bad.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then the surgeon, he said, like, you need to get surgery tomorrow, like, or you go back home tomorrow and get surgery in a few days, or you get surgery right here because you're late. And my Achilles, or apparently, like, it got all the way up into my calf, because that's what it does.
It rolls up. Yep.
It rolls up. So I couldn't even, like, process this whole thing, because I had surgery, like, I think the day after I get the result from the MRI. So, yeah, I had surgery. And then, well, 2 weeks after, I was supposed to be coaching in Morocco, because that's what I did too. So I was like, look, surgeon, like, I have to go home. I have this camp. Like, when I commit to something, I hate to cancel. Like, however, like, even if I'm sick, if I'm injured, I will go. So I went to Morocco with my boot after 2 weeks. Oh, my goodness. Morocco. Gosh. And the end of elevators in Morocco. So I had to walk stairs through the seventh floor to get to my room.
Oh my gosh.
Local, but it was a great camp. So yeah, I forgot about that part. I also did a lot of things in Morocco with flag football. Okay, we're getting all over the place right now. I don't even remember your question.
I just talking
don't
about
remember how, either.
No, well, it took me a second.
You answered the question.
Yeah, you did. No, it's all good. It's just talking about how it felt to be able to get back out there and be a part of the team, you know, as opposed to coaching. Because, you know, it's one thing to be a part of the team and be on the sidelines and right. doing and you know, being there and being in a support and auxiliary role. But being somebody on the field, making the plays, doing that, there's nothing like that. So
completely different. Yeah. No, but I do have to say that in those 2 years, I really tried to be involved in a different way because I didn't want to step away from the game yet. I knew that I was going to come back somehow. And I really wanted to learn more about the game. So I was like, this is the perfect time to just, you know, do more coaching, learn from Katie Stowers, for example. So I was at every practice learning the playbook, understanding what she was doing and why. So I feel like in those 2 years, yes, I stood still as a player, but I learned so much more about the game. Yeah, so I really tried to make the best of those 2 years during my injury. Yeah.
So I just want to be clear about this. So Kobe Bryant, you know, one of the, you know, best athletes, trained. I mean, everybody talked about how, you know, meticulous he was with his training. He had the same injury. And there, you know, famous, you know, kind of scene in a basketball game where he, like, limped to take the last two free throws, barely made. You didn't see that guy for 2 years. At the same injury you got, I got to give you credit here. In those 2 years, you helped two countries start up their flag football teams, and you coached your national team as well. Like, that's
Mamba
crazy.
Is the Mamba is what I'm hearing. Yeah. like,
that is amazing to me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Thank you. Now, I really appreciate that, guys. And it's just like out of a big, big passion. I think most of us have this enormous passion for the sport and do literally everything for it. And I'm one of those persons. Like, I travel so much just to help countries, and I don't care if I'm paid or not. Like, I just really love to do it, and especially Morocco, where kids don't have much, you know. Like, my best friend, Fouzia Madouni, she's an NFL flag ambassador. Yeah. And she's actually now the head coach of the female national team of Morocco that just started as well. And they're going to compete in August for the first time too. So she started her academy. It was called the We Can Academy back in 2021. And she was like, hey, Ambra, I'm starting this project. I want you to help these kids and be the head coach. I was like, I'm coming. Okay, I'll be there next week. So I traveled to Morocco and stayed there for a few months. And I helped her build this whole academy for the kids. And they had like free computers. Like, she had a really good partnership with the government. And they got like free classes of English, French, and flag football. So I was helping them build this academy. It was so nice with the girls and the boys. And they're still texting me sometimes. But like, since that academy, like, flag football has grown so much. And now this year, they actually made the first national team for the girls. So,
that's awesome.
You know, it's been, yeah, it's been so great to help. And just so grateful that they trusted me to help them with their programs. You know, I was just like, back then, just a passionate person that loved flag football and just wanted to help wherever possible. And yeah, so I returned back to Morocco a few more times to do workshops for the girls, like on emotional intelligence, you know, because of my background in psychology, I was trying to help them more than just with flag football. So things outside of the field, because the girls, you know, it's hard for them sometimes in that culture. It's just not the same as in the group. Yeah. So, and for them, it was also hard sometimes because they're parents wouldn't approve of them playing flag football because it was a rough sport for them. And why would girls play flag football? And, you know, so it's been really nice to help them out. And it's been really nice to see like how Fouzia now has like the national team and taking the team to the first tournament in Egypt this year. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, you listened to her. So I listened to the episode. She was your first guest. You and your sister's first guest, right? So I listened to the episode, and you listen to how passionate she sounds, and she's truly. It seems like she's truly growing everything, and you know. So and on top of that, she just became a mother. So I think that's a really big thing too, to try to balance, you know, work life, home life, trying to have everything all on, you know, all in a row.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening to our podcast.
Of course, it's a fun podcast.
I have no idea. I don't know if you were listening to it. That's super cool.
No, for sure. So I'm so excited that I know it was weird circumstances that Spain, you know, kind of got pushed out of, you know, because of their federation or whatever. I'm super excited that Italy's going to be at the World Games. I, you know, I know Jacob thinks the United States is going to dominate, blah, blah, blah. But
and is everybody but the USA. Yeah. Anybody who's not the United States.
So I'm excited. I have two really great teams that I can cheer for, Mexico and Italy, that are both going to be at the World Games. And so I'm super excited for that. I can't wait to be able to watch and just be a fan, you know, of all that. And so I just, you know, as far as IFAF and international sports go, we are officials. We come from that perspective. So is there a rule that just grinds your gears, that just drives you crazy in the IFAF rule book?
That's very hard to say. But what I do hate is that we can only bring 12 players. That for me is the worst rule ever. I think we should be able to add a bit more players, because those tournaments are a couple of days, a couple of games a day. It's like, you know, it's heavy. It's exhausting. And I feel like, yeah, we just need a few more players as backups. I think that would be, you know, very much appreciated. That's one thing.
What would your roster size be?
So I would at least bring two more. I don't think that's too much asked.
Yeah,
fair.
14 instead of 12.
Gives you two reserves on each side.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, I think. And I even like read somewhere that for the Olympics, there's going to be like a, what, 10 men?
10.
Yeah.
That's bananas. It's going the wrong direction.
Yeah. So, wow. Well, well, we just want to kind of wrap up, you know, this conversation with a little rapid fire. You know, usually the hot seat is really intense on our show. We don't want to get too crazy, but I know Jacob has some wild card questions. So me and him are going to go back and forth. I'll start and then his question will go. So first and foremost, who is your favorite NFL player?
Ooh, Saquon Barkley.
Favorite midnight snack?
Popcorn.
Butter or
umbrella? Favorite.
Hold on.
Sweet.
No. What do you mean by sweet?
Caramel.
Okay. All right. I'm in.
Okay.
What's your favorite position on the field to play?
Wide receiver. Yes.
All right. Now, mid-tournament snack.
Oh. Energy gel, salt, banana, nuts.
Favorite place to play in the world?
Ooh, somewhere I have not been yet, or where I've been already.
I need a location.
put the pin on the map. He won't know where you're at, but I got it.
Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, there we go.
Okay,
Brazil.
Superpower for one day.
Reading people's minds.
Oh, that's scary.
Wow. All right. who's your most favorite opponent to face?
Like a country?
Person.
My favorite opponent?
Yeah.
A person. Oh my.
So goodness. If you're wide receiver, who's the DB you want to match up against?
Oh dear. Gosh, that's difficult. A DB from one of the teams. I think I only know receivers. Well, I know a very good, great defensive player from France that is actually my teammate right now, Elisa De Santis.
Okay.
There we go. Pre-tournament artist that you listen to.
I love Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Okay, and now this is going to be the hardest question you got to answer. Who is your favorite teammate?
Say it again.
Who is your favorite teammate?
My favorite teammate, my sister. No.
Yeah. Just want to make sure.
Of course.
Final question. Since you've been to the States, I think you should have had one of these. Philly cheesesteak What are the toppings you're going to put on it?
Oh, man, mushrooms. I love mushrooms, cheese. Just that for me was amazing. I loved it.
What kind of cheese?
It was chicken.
What was it?
Cheese steak made of chicken. Is that possible?
Oh, you had the chicken Philly? Okay.
Yes.
All right. What kind of cheese did you have on it, though?
Provolone.
You mean not cream cheese?
Nuh-uh.
Okay, so our friend here. Go ahead, Ant. I'll let you take it from here.
I used to manage a Philly cheesesteak restaurant in Colorado when I lived in Colorado. And one of the owners, he was from Philadelphia, and he introduced me to a cheesesteak that had peppers, onions, the steak, and then the cheese that we put in it, and we would melt it, heat it all up with cream cheese.
Horrible.
Why? That's
horrible. Worldwide, we agree that this is a bad idea.
Hold on.
Idea.
There's not a dessert that you like with cream cheese in it, Ambra?
With cream cheese?
Yeah.
Dessert?
Cheesecake?
Oh, cheesecake.
Cheesecake, right?
Yeah.
But
I'm so sorry, Ambra. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, I just want to say this right now. I think that your next destination after China, after Paris, you've got to come to a USA flag tournament. You got to play. Maybe you got to officiate a little bit. I don't know, but you got to make it. You got to come to the States and play in one of these tournaments. If you need a team to play with, we will find you a team to play with. Okay, so
very easily.
Deal. One deal.
Let's make it happen.
Okay. I'm all for it.
Cool.
That's a deal.
All right. Good. Well, before we have you hop off, plug your podcast, plug Talking Flag. Give us the rundown, give us everything.
What I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so the podcast, yes. Well, it started very randomly. So the Talking Balls guys, they actually reached out to me and my sister, and they were like, hey, we want to start a flag football podcast, but we don't know anything about flag, and we need people that know stuff about flag. Do you girls want to do it? And we were like, oh, yeah, sure. And that's how we actually started. So it was very random, and we didn't even know what we were getting into because we're both super busy. But yeah, it took off and it's actually going so well. Like, we have all these guests, that asked to be on our podcast. So it's really nice. And I think it's going to be pretty cool. Like in a few months, like, we're going to have a bit more viewers and stuff. Like, our Instagram is growing. So absolutely. Yeah, we've been talking to academies, like coaches of academies, in the US, coaches, like, from the UK, from all different countries have been registering for our podcast, and it's been really nice conversations and great points of view. So it's been going pretty well. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. Where can we find you?
So my personal Instagram is written there. It's Ambra Marcucci, and then the Talking Flag, I think it's just Talking Flag. Talking Flag podcast, maybe. Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah.
Good deal. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate having you. It was really nice to catch up and to learn about the European side of things and to grow the game that way.
Thank you. Ambra, I think we're going to have you on again, because I feel like the three of us, we could just have a 2-hour conversation and it would be no issue at all.
Well, call me again. I'll be there and I'll explain you a bit more about things I do outside of football, because we only spoke about football, obviously. But yeah, that's for another conversation.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll see you soon then.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. See ya.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. All right, man. We got two other guests coming.
Holy,
so let's just keep it.
let's keep rolling.
Let's keep it rolling, and we're just gonna bring them both on. Okay.
Oh man, so, here we go. Oh, they're both in the queue.
Yeah, they both again, they showed up early. I guess you just need to have podcasts in the middle of the day.
not nighttime. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. All right, so let's see here. Let me bring this guy on.
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
I'm extremely hungover.
And here's my hermano.
Jaime.
What's up, Flex?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. Just extremely hungover. Other than that, I'm doing good.
Finally well after 3 days of resting, recovering from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm okay.
Yeah. So, Dean, let's get right into your doozy so we can cut you loose after that. You know, we let you just, I don't know, Jacob described the doozy, so
right,
I don't know.
So here we go. So Dean is a world of interest, right? He's had a bunch of interesting different things happen on the field. So what Dean's going to do, he's going to give us another one of his stories. So, Dean, the floor is yours. Take us away with another Double D's doozy.
Appreciate it. So, again, you know, the more I keep doing this, the more I realize how rude and nasty the players are on this island. And it just keeps getting out of hand because these are not made up. These are actual things that have happened to me. And it's crazy because there's nothing. It's always intense. So going back to 2015, when we actually flew down two refs who were part of the USTFL at the time, or the USFTL,
yes.
Touch flag football, yeah.
Yeah.
So we actually flew two refs down to do our playoffs, and I was reffing one of the semifinals between Hurricanes and Hellcats, and there was a player that I was playing back judge, so there was a player that thought he got PI'd, and apparently I was against him the entire game. And this is someone that I knew. It's a very close friend of mine. We got way, way back. And I was like, no, there's no PI. It was incidental contact. I'm not calling PI. So move on. And then as I turned my back, he came storming towards me, grabbed the back of my jersey, and was about to body slam me to the ground when one of the Hellcats players intervened and shoved him off. And then that just started an absolute brawl again. And as soon as that happened, the referee that came down, the white hat, who was the one who flew in from Florida, immediately got security to escort me straight to my car. Like, it was no messing around. Like, they were like, ah, you're out of here. Let's go. Like, we need to get you out of here. We need to get you safe because we don't know what these guys are going to do. So I'm trying to look back. I'm like, no, I'm good. Let me go. Like, I can handle myself. I'm not, you know, I'm not a child. I can handle myself. So just let me go. And they were like, no, we need to get you out. We need to get you out. We need to get you out. And I'm like, and I had no choice because it was two security guards either side of me escorting to my car. So it was, it's just insane. And then the very next day I see the guy at a supermarket and he's like, hey, Dino, what's up? You good? Oh yeah. And it's like, I'm like, bro, you just tried to body slam me to the ground and now you're saying everything's cool. I'm like, nah, give it a minute. Give it a couple days. It was like, and then I said to him, I'm like, you're not going to body slam me in the supermarket, are you?
So, clean up on aisle three.
Let me bounce back from my trauma for a little bit.
but I mean that game was intense from the minute it started because we actually had a play where one of the punting was still allowed. It was nine man. So what we did was they punted the ball. He took it outside the end zone, right? Went back into the end zone and took a knee. And then he's like, oh, no, that's, and I'm like, ah, that's a safety, bud. Like, you can't do that. So
you screwed that up, and then you screwed up the PI, according to him. It's a bad day for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's messed up, bro. You should have gotten body slammed for that.
Yeah, twice.
I know, right?
Right there on the fruit roll-ups aisle.
Yeah. In the fruit roll-ups. No, in the toast and strudel.
Get him off the camera.
hey, so Dean, before you go, everybody's wondering what's going on. Who's in first place in the co-ed division right now? I gotta hear it.
So Red Stripes in first place still.
Let's go.
They are, but I will say, so on the past Thursday night, Burger King played Child Please, who was Child Please were like, they're and they're 4-1. They're doing great. It was a solid matchup, and Burger King had the lead 12-0 all the way until 40 seconds left, when the quarterback for Child Please turned into vintage Tom Brady and was just boom, boom, boom down the field, threw a female touchdown and a female 2-point extra point.
So what you're saying is they were having it their way until it was time to add cheese to the burger, when they realized they were going to have to pay the extra $1.29. And then they got body slammed. I like it.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. So there is an interesting, I will say this, after Easter, next week Friday, Red Stripe play Burger King.
Oh, man, you got to go live for that one. We don't need you, Rev. We need you live, and you need to let us come on there.
What I'm going to do is I will get someone to go live. I will be reffing that game, but next week I'm doing all the games with two-man crews. So I want to better my mechanics with two-man crews. So I'm going to run the whole night with two-man crews. So it'll be fun. It's going to be interesting, but I'm definitely going to get someone to go live. It's at 7:10 our time, which is 8:10 your time. So
Live. Bring us on as collaborators. We got you. We'll do the commentary. We got it. We got good practice last night at Katura's football flag game.
All right, Dean. Well, we'll see you soon, man. Appreciate the doozy. Yep.
Appreciate
you, Dean. See you soon, guys. Thanks. Ciao. Bye.
Hi, man. All right. Speaking of two-man crews,
the two-man crew.
We always do two-man crew here in Cancun, so it's very useful for us.
So every time we have a new guest on the show, we just like to give you the opportunity to share your story, you know, what brought you into flag football and where you are today as a flag football referee. So floor is yours.
Well, my name is Jaime, Jamie, Jimmy. I don't know how much names I will have in the United States, but Jaime, Rev Jaime. I live here in Cancun, but I'm from Spain. I've been here in Mexico for 40 years, something like that. I've been in flag football for almost 25, 26 years, all here in Cancun. And I've been part of all sides of flag football, a coach, a player. Also, I still play today. Also as an administrator, league director, and referee for almost also 24, 25 years in football and in flag football. I prefer flag football, I have to say, but I've been for more 2 or 3 years, I've been dedicated almost for flag football refereeing. I've been in Spain, I've been in Denmark, I've been in Croatia, I've been in the United States, and here in Mexico, in Cancun, where I live and where I do most of the work of refereeing. That's me.
Oh, there we go. So just give us, we want to talk Vegas a little bit. You know, from your perspective, what did you see? Good, bad, ugly? Were there any calls that stuck out to you? Anything you want to talk about as far as Vegas went?
No, it was a great tournament, great city, of course, Las Vegas. We enjoyed a lot walking over there, enjoying the city. But the tournament was great, was great. I think it was, for me, my first tournament in U.S. was Tampa. So for me, it was a very good tournament to get the levels right, because Tampa was so high, my first tournament. My first touch with USA flag rules, that it's so different than IFAF. So for me, Las Vegas was, okay, here I am. Now I in a normal level. But also, it's difficult for us to change our chip from IFAF to USA flag. So we are getting, I'm getting used to, I think my third or fourth tournament, if you invite me, it will be so much easy, because I overthink the plays. I saw the play, but I start thinking, okay, here in USA flag is a penalty. No, yeah, da, 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 da. And you know, in a game, 1-2 seconds for a ref, it's
lifetime.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lifetime. So we are getting used to that. But I think USA in Las Vegas was a great tournament, refereeing with Ant, also with all the other teammates over there. It was great. It was great. A lot of heat. It was so hot the first day, the second day. So even if I live in Cancun, I used to, but not that kind of, it was so hot, but we get over there. I love the tournament. I enjoy it always. I enjoyed all the tournaments. So for me, Las Vegas was great.
Yeah, I know you and me talked about, kind of an example of that. There was, I think it was women's air it out or something like that. And it was Saturday morning, maybe like our second or third game or something like that. And this girl, DB, she went in for a straight, perfect form tackle. And it was on Jaime's side, right in front of him. And I gave him a second, and I was like, no, I got to throw that.
I didn't throw the flag. That part of the day on Saturday, the first time of the day, I don't know if I was tired. They dried it. I don't know what's happening with me. But I talked with Ant and say, I'm watching the penalties. I say, oh, that's a contact. Oh, that's an interference. But I was throwing the flag. I don't know what's happening in my mind that I was so slow on that I was looking the play, watching the game, and say, hey, that's a flag. But I didn't throw the flag. So I went with Ant and say, hey, I don't know what's happening with me. I don't know if I'm tired. I don't know. But that play was so fun to me, not throwing the flag. But, well, that's why I got my friend Ant covering me in that play. But at the second half of the day, I was better, and I was also running in my mind, everything okay. So I started doing the things as usual. But that play was crazy. That's right, Ant. Thank you for throwing it out for all your guests.
Thank you, my friend. grab those jackets that we came out with. It gets cold under the bus.
But the same thing happened to me later in the day, because there was then we were in non-contact, and there was a bunch of pitches happening, and the whole sideline behind me was like, that's forward. I didn't see it at all, and Jaime right away was there with the flag. So we evened each other out. I had some misses.
Always. always. So,
yeah, but no, it was a lot of fun being able to be the two-man crew with you. I think we saw some great games. Jacob, is are me and Jaime going to be invited back? I guess that's our first question.
Jaime is definitely invited anywhere he wants to go ever. There's no question about it. And if he puts a good word in for you, I guess, Ant, you can come too.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
So speaking of kind of that adjustment between IFAF and USA flag rules, I know you and me had a conversation. Jacob had to come over for a challenge that came up. I think this is a good thing for us to talk about, because there's a difference in the way that the wording of the rules is, wherein essentially it's around like the impeding, right of way, right of place. So in USA flag rules, with impeding, the way it goes is the rusher has their lane, their right of way to the line of scrimmage. And it's very clear in the rule book. It says, they have until the line of scrimmage, they have that direct path. And that's the wording behind it. So essentially what happened in this play is it was behind the line of scrimmage. So immediately, impeding is out the window. It was a co-ed game. The rusher is going, full steam ahead, male rusher, and female goes out for her route, but she's behind the line of scrimmage, and the rusher slams right into her, full steam contact. Huge impact, and it was right in front of me. So a flag, and the flag that I threw was a legal contact on the rusher, because in my eyes, he initiated the contact with her.
Sure.
So the challenge that came up, and I tried to help this team, because you know, I just said to him, I just want you to understand that impeding, what you're looking for impeding, that stops at the line of scrimmage, you know, in this rule book. And that's what they were challenging. They were challenging that impeding goes past the line of scrimmage. So I knew going into it that they were going to lose this challenge. But I just want to hear both of your guys' perspectives on this. And maybe how, you know, how a situation like that could be handled differently. Jacob, you didn't witness the play, but you got the explanation of it. What are your thoughts as far as all that goes?
I have to say just one thing. They were in bounce, so all the players were beside the center. And the receiver that makes the movement was on the opposite side of the rusher. He came all back from all the people making bounce, so the rusher even didn't saw her. So it was rushing, and suddenly, bah, it appears just behind the line. They get the huge impact. So wasn't in an open play that the receiver was coming, and you can saw here come. No, it wasn't bunch. Did the receiver move around the line, and the rusher just get a huge impact. So that's just to understand the total of the play. No, that's the thing.
Was she the center?
No.
No, she was just a receiver.
Well, but was saying she was a far side receiver that came across.
Behind the line and behind all the receivers. So that's why the rusher, pow, doesn't saw her and just get the impact. That's the thing.
Yeah,
so I think the biggest thing, I mean, you just have to go to that first line in the rule book that just says the rusher blitzer is allowed a direct line to the line of scrimmage. Once you get past the line of scrimmage, all bets are off. You've got to avoid the contact. And that's it's made that way. So that way, if a quarterback evades and, you know, starts to scramble either direction, the rusher still has to keep their true line just to the line of scrimmage. Then they can then branch off of it. There's no longer that line's going to change. So only thing you're trying to you're trying to establish as much of a line as you can without doing too much or trying to overcompensate. You can't protect a rusher forever, but you can protect them to that line of scrimmage. So at that point you do have to avoid contact. Yeah. Is it kind of, maybe we need to look at scenes about something where if a receiver's coming along that line of scrimmage and is just behind it and there's a collision in the backfield, you know, maybe there needs to be a discussion because you can still kind of impede that way. It's kind of a loophole, but you definitely got to pay attention to where you're at and know your surroundings as a rusher.
Yeah. Because we had the team. The offense team says, hey, so I can do that every play. I can put my center just 1 yard behind the line, waiting for the rusher coming through the line, and then move to that side and impede the rusher. So that they were start saying that, and right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, essentially, the team that lost the challenge, they, you know, they were on defense, and that was their kind of rebuttal to it was, well, we can just if we want, we can just send a receiver on that route. And because they're behind the line of scrimmage, they're not going to get penalized. And immediately my first response was, well, yeah, but did you see the impact? Like that girl was like, she fell on the ground. Like she, you know, do you really want to risk a player's safety in hopes of drawing a penalty? Like that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, so I mean, just think if this was in an IFAB situation, can you explain how, you know, what the rule book?
I think we like a lot because I talk with some refs about that usually refs IFAB. We love your rule about the no lane. I think that's a good thing you have because the rusher has to avoid to go through the lane. And IFAB, we don't have that. If the rusher announces, he has the right of way, and all the people has to move. So I like the thing that no lane, he has to go outside the receivers. That's a good thing, I think. Some people on IFAB, they are thinking about this rule may be a good one. But I like IFAB that says that he has right of way to where the QB receives the ball from the center. So if the QB is 5 yards, 7, 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, he has right of way until that part of the field. So that's why I think it's a good thing so you can avoid those kind of contacts. So it's very clear that he has the right of way until the place where the QB received the center. So because what I was talking with Ant about that rule about the line of scrimmage, it's so different in 1 yard front or behind the line of scrimmage. Why 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage is offense, and why 1 yard behind the line is going to be defense. So it's so difficult to see that kind of so stretch limit. So that's why I think it's going to be better to say, hey, you have the right of way to the spot where the QB receives the ball. If it's in an under, you have a very short right of way. But I think that that's a good thing we can improve, because the rules are made to avoid contacts. That's sure. The main thing. So that I think that's a rule we can make.
Come
a
back and with, visit.
Yeah, yep. And because it was a huge contact, and when Ant says no, it's going to be offense, I say, oh my, okay. It was very strange for me because it's 1 yard behind or in front of the line of scrimmage. So that's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because essentially, if that same situation happens and it's in front of the line of scrimmage, you're almost kind of looking at like an illegal block, you know, because basically that, yeah, or illegal contact in that situation. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, thing to look at. And yeah, I think that's a good point, is like one side of the line of scrimmage and the other, you know, and it's also very interesting as far as like each format goes. You know, we've talked about this where like in non-contact, the line of scrimmage essentially doesn't matter. But whereas within contact in the no run zone, the line of scrimmage does matter because you can't throw a forward pass, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. Co-ed, it's not a gender play unless that, you know, that operative player gets past the line of scrimmage. You know, so there's different formats change kind of how important the line of scrimmage is. As far as that goes.
Yep. So I think I don't want to shift gears just yet.
Okay.
But having Jaime here, so go ahead. I don't want to keep going if you want to keep.
No, I'm good. Go ahead. Do your thing.
So Jaime, there's some kind of staying on the topic of Vegas. So we had two groups of officials come from Mexico, which I think is fantastic. I enjoyed seeing more officials not at Worlds from different countries. And, you know, we had Canada and Mexico represented. What would you say? And I know like you getting to work with Ant for 2 days, I think kind of helped you a little bit. Yes, what would you say are what is the biggest issue or barrier or challenge for our international officials when they come up to the States and work?
From us?
Yes.
The different rules. That's the thing, because we are used to only Mexico, 90% of the country plays IFAB with pitch. That's the only thing they have. So I don't think we have a problem with the intensity of the players. We can take care of that. I don't know, we have a problem with the talking with the players, getting all the things done in the field, but to get used to the rules, because we are used to here in IFAB you can jump. So the first time you start doing a game in Las Vegas or in Tampa and you saw a jump, you go automatically. You suddenly grab the flag and say, "Hey, oh no, wait, no." So that's why I told you that we overthink the rules.
Yeah.
Because that's legal here or not. So that's the thing. But in this second tournament for me, of course, was more easy because I know what I'm going to face in the fields, the rules about the people, about the players, about the intensity, about the games, the co-ed, the contact, and all those different styles of playing flag football. So I think that's the main thing, that we have to change our chips so fast that even gets 1, 2, 3 games to get, okay, here I have to play with these rules. I have to work with these rules. So I think that's the only thing. For the rest, we don't have any problem to get used to the intensity, the players, the trash talk they have on the field. So that's the I think we are not so used here in Mexico, but we can work with that, no problem.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Jacob, did you have, you were going no, more
that
with
was,
that?
That was kind of my big topic there.
Yeah. No, for sure. And honestly, I really appreciate being able to work with officials from Mexico, because your guys' the mechanics, you know, the nonverbal communication, all of that. I never officiated tackle, and I know that's where a lot of officials get their experience with that stuff. So for me, that those are the things that I want to practice. I want to get good at. So being able to be, you know, on a crew with officials that are from Mexico, where they're just dialed in on that. Those are the things that, you know, they don't have to think twice about, you know, if, you know, on the snap or, you know, any of the, you know, going like this, all of that stuff, that communication. Yeah, exactly. All of that stuff helps me immensely get better at it, because I don't have any other opportunity to practice it. So, I think that sometimes American officials can be a little lazy as far as mechanics go.
No, in all parts of the world, don't worry about it. Yeah. In all parts of the world, but I think those things, when you start working with a new crew of new partners or everything, when you start doing those signals and you saw that they are replying to you, you know, okay, I'm covered. I know with who I'm working. The problem is when you start doing the signals and the people say, "Hey, what's if you do that?" And they start looking for the shirt. If there are something on the shirt or something, you know you are in problems, that they don't know about the mechanics and the movement. So you have to double check with them, or see if he's moving to the end line. If not, you are going to move to cover the line. So that's the thing. But we are so used to do the mechanics, and we work here in Cancun. And I know Juanjo in San Cristobal and all the other persons in the country. Every week we work and we do all the mechanics we need to do on the field. So we are so used to with our crews here in Cancun. Every Sunday, Saturday, Friday, we start working, and so it's so traumatic for us, because we encourage to do that in our crews, because it's how it's going to be better for us to do our work. We are going to be covered on the lines, the end line, the midline, and everything. So we are very strong on that, and we work every weekend to stay in that level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There was one moment, I think it might have been women's non-contact pro. You and me were kind of communicating non-verbally across the field, and it was really throwing off the players, because we were just talking about the down. And so we were doing it through hands signals and communicating, you know, with our eyes. And the players are like, well, second and third. And I'm like, no, we're having a conversation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we got to the ball.
I don't remember what other signal. Ah, yeah. We were doing that. That signal is not official, but that signal is just float on the zone, not go to the one line. And one player came to for our ref and says, "Are you hungry?" Yes, I remember he told me that thing. I was doing that, and the coach, the captain, someone, "Are you hungry?" No, that's a signal I'm doing to my ref.
Yes.
But yes, well, yes, I will appreciate a burger or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Jaime, did you have a favorite format that you officiated in Vegas?
I like a lot. Well, for me, 5-5 no contact is the easiest one, because it's more or less the same. But I miss the what's called the one that they can get contact on the line and they play just midfield.
Gauntlet.
Yeah,
Gauntlet. I miss that. Yeah, I saw it in Tampa and say, oh, that's a funny one. I like it, because you have a mix of contact but no contact. I officiated that in Tampa. I see the impacts on the field for the females, and I was, oh my god, they are doing a strong dog. So that's one I missed in Vegas. But no, I love to ref any style. I really don't I haven't worked so much with the 6-6 contact and 7-7 contacts. I do it in Tampa. But I think I don't love so much those kind of styles because they go so far from flag football, you know, flag football. So that's the thing. But oh, there's no contact. I love it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if many of us really enjoy sixes contact at this point.
It's too slow.
Yeah. It's just about hitting people at this point. I don't think
that's not the problem.
Both teams get one drive a half. You know, it's like, it is. When I played it, I loved sixes contact as a player because, you know, there was so much action going on. The field is small. But the more I like watch it and then officiating it, I'm like, this is boring.
It takes a lot. As Jacob says, so slow. One drive each team, something like that. I saw it in Tampa, but I love the gauntlet and the 4-on-4. They have three downs. I think you have some difference in variants that it's very. Very fun to watch, and also for those kind of tournaments, though, so you can go faster and have more drives and everything. So three downs, for example, I think is those are good changes for those formats.
Yeah, and shorter times for the games as well.
Also, I think we can shorter times on the play clock because also it's 25. So in the last minute or 2 minutes, you can have a lot of long plays and run out of clock, but 12 minutes and everything. So I think you have a very good set of rules for those kind of tournaments.
Yeah. That was another thing, Jaime, that you and me talked about is clock management in flag football. the amount of times that, you know, me and Jaime in our minds, our experience with flag football, this game is over. The team just has to kneel it out. No big deal.
No, they don't.
And they first thing they do is throw an incomplete pass.
And as a ref, I had a problem last year in Spain, in the Spanish Bowl. I saw a coach, the offensive coach, and say, hey, the end of the game, they were winning by 9 or something like that. I don't remember. And they got a minute. But in my mind, I know that with the timeouts the other team has and the time, they can manage the clock and still have an offense. But say, okay, I'm going to ask the other coach. And I ask the other coach and say, hey, coach, they want to end the game. Do you want to end the game? Yes, of course. And say, okay, you are wrong. But well, and I finish the game. And suddenly the coach starts thinking and say, hey, no, wait. No, we keep start playing. And I say, I just ended the game. And I say, no, okay, let's go. We keep playing. And of course, the other team say, hey, you have just ended the game. Why we are going to start playing again? Say, no, let's go. But I had a big problem in the tournament. My director covered me and say, hey, you did that? And I say, yes, I ended the game and then start doing playing again. So, okay, that's bad. From that point, I never end the game. Never. Never. You want to end the game? Put a knee down. I don't care. You are going to still play because you soak those kind of plays. They throw a pass, then they throw a pitch and fall down in safety, something like that. So from that special play in the Spanish Bowl, I never end the game. Saying, hey, that's the end of the game. Never. No, we want to end the game. Okay, put a knee down. I don't care. Do whatever you want, but I'm not going to end the game because things happen. Things happen on the field, and we saw it in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. That's just like I try to talk about every pre-tournament is, you know, take air it out's the biggest one for me. We had a big – when we first introduced that style, we had a lot of folks who would kill the play as soon as a lateral or a pitch would happen. And I'd tell them, like, you can't kill a play because of a foul occurring. I said, because people do stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, I pitch the ball and all of a sudden Ant's not on my team and he intercepts it and you kill the play. Ant's going to be pissed and I don't blame him. You know, he just lost out on a potential score over that. So, you know, anytime I always tell people, let players do stupid things.
Yep.
Because they'll make the mistakes every time.
That's yeah, right. I mean, because percentage-wise, I feel like there was only maybe three games that the team that needed to run out the clock correctly did it the right
correctly.
Way.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's a small percentage in all the games we officiated.
That's right. No, that's the thing.
Sounds about right, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what, Jaime, what was the saying in Spanish that you kept?
I don't remember. Peores cosas se han visto. Peores cosas se han visto. Worst things we have seen, or something like that. It's the call.
Yeah.
Peores cosas se han visto. No, they're saying that you can't imagine what is going to happen on the field, and worst thing we have seen, or something like that. But yes, that's the words in the Spanish.
Good deal. I like it
for sure. So, Jaime, I just want to give you the opportunity to, you know, just if you want to plug anything, plug your social media, you know, your content before you get out of here.
Yes, of course. Flag Football Referee. It's very easy. So, you know, Flag Football Referee. Ref Jaime in Flag Football Referee.
That's my guy.
I'm going to show you how to do it. Flag Football Referee on Instagram. That's my main social media, so you can follow me on over there. I travel all around. I spoke about refs, and we talk about the rules and something like that. So if you can follow on Flag Football Referee, it will be very appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you headed next? Outside of Mexico.
Outside of Mexico, I hope. I'm looking forward to go to San Antonio. and after that, I'm going to be in Spain on the first week of June. And the second, we have the Spanish Bowl, and I have to be there because I'm part of the Spanish Federation. So in this tournament, they call me to be there, so I have to be there. And after that, it's going to be a long summer. I'm trying to be in Germany in a tournament at the end of June also. And after that, I think during the summer, the tournaments, I'm going to try to be in the Continentals, in Paris or here in Panama. I don't know, not at the start, not as a ref, but as a flag football referee covering the tournament. And after that, I think I'm going to be in China also in the World Games. I hope. I'm going to be there. I already have my accreditation, so I'm green to go. But we have to take the visa and everything. So I hope I'm going to be there also covering the World Games. So if you want to do something during the World Games, talking about the U.S. team or something like that, I will enjoy to do that. And that's more or less the thing that's going to happen during the summer.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, that's something I think me and Jacob both aspire to be able to do. We want to be able to go to big events like that and be, you know, media as well as officiate. I think it's fun to just go to a tournament, you know, that, you know, is outside of the, you know, the normal and kind of be a guest official and things like that. So
no, I enjoy to be in Finland, not as a ref. I was covering but it was so fun to see all your friends, your colleagues doing the work over there. And also, it was my first international tournament. So to see the Mexico's team, the US, the Spanish team, the Italy team, and all the people enjoying so much about the flag football. So it was so nice to see that I say, hey, I like that. And I will try to be in those kind of tournaments because it's so enjoyable for me to be there. So that's fun. That's why I'm trying to do that, because it's so fun for me to be there and enjoy flag football.
Yeah. Well, hi, man. Glad we were able to get you on the show finally.
Finally.
You know.
Yes.
Finally.
I asked three times and asked more. Yes. He's here.
You were asking me and I say, hey, I'm in Spain. So it's 8 hours different, 7 hours different. So we had some times to try to be here, but our work and our timelines were not so easy to to be in, here in your show, but thank you very much to have me here.
No, really, yeah, for sure.
And it was a pleasure working with you for 2 days. I really appreciate that as well. So.
Same to me, and say to me, and thank you very much for all your effort during this tournament and all the things you do for us. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ant. And also thank to all the people from USA Flag.
Appreciate you. Sure.
All right, we'll see you in San Antonio.
See you in San Antonio. See you, my friends. Thank you.
Whew, I feel like we just went all over the entire globe just there.
I feel like I can feel the jet lag hitting. That was a really fun episode. That was really cool.
Hey, so I do want to just, you know, talk a little bit more about Vegas, just to recap it, just from your perspective, Jacob, good, bad, and ugly. How was Vegas?
Vegas was a lot of fun, man. I mean, I think, you know, overall, so I look at things under a different kind of microscope than the average player would or anything like that. But, you know, we had three great days. We had, you know, three hot days. You know, I thought we had pretty great officiating, you know, across the board. I thought we had a pretty great group with us working that tournament. Overall, I think it was a really good tournament.
Yeah. You know, there was, of course, a little fight that, you know, happened.
But when isn't there a fight? I mean, it was, you know, I think the nice thing about that, it happened, it ended quickly. The officials did exactly what they needed to do and identified exactly who was involved, were able to nip it in the bud, you know, and move on from it. It wasn't as big of a deal as some of these other places make these things out to be. So,
yeah, I mean, I will say, again, you know, perspectives have changed, but when I first started playing, FFWCT tournaments, sometimes it felt like there were fights, you know, every few games. Like, it just, there were always fights going on that, you know, and I think that things have really just, you know, and that it's a credit to Jacob, all the hard work you've done with the officials and, you know, kind of shifting, you know, the attitudes and cultures and like you said, how officials handle it, because ultimately, a fight could break out, and sometimes a fight could last where it just kind of keeps erupting and keeps erupting, and it erupts over here on this field, and then it's moving over here, yeah, you know.
Last,
and I just,
last year we took up three fields trying to clean it up.
I do think that in general, across the board, you know, fighting has become less and less a part of what flag football tournaments are, and you know, I think that's huge, because it just brings negative attention, and we don't need any of that, and so that's big. But yeah, I mean, I ear hustle a little bit when I hear what's going on, and ultimately, you know, two teams, they paid to play, and they both double forfeited, so you know, that, and there was, yep, you know, other consequences for individual players and things like that. They gave New Dynasty a easy route to the championship. Shout out to New Dynasty for not winning any of their formats.
Jesus Christ. Here we go. Can't wait to see that one clipped.
But, hey, I just, you know, where are the Goonies from? Do you know?
I don't know. California?
I don't know.
Arkansas? I don't know.
I don't know either, but they won both contact formats, so that was cool. You know, I just think in general, it was just cool seeing different teams win things. Ronin won 5 non-contact. Like, that's exciting. You know, shout out to the Bears for, like, kind of really pushing into non-contact and making some noise in both aired out and fives. You know, but all across the board, I mean, I just think there was some, I just feel like competition was, you know, really elevated, and the amateur division seemed really, like, they had some real, real talent in the amateur division.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, not in the novice division, but, you know. No. Yeah,
well, okay, I got to ask the question that everyone wants the answer to, because nobody knows it when you ask. Novice, amateur, which one is higher? What?
Oh, hold on, hold on. Okay, so it goes, here's the way it goes. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Pro, elite, comp, rec, novice, amateur. If you're an amateur, okay, you're in the bottom.
That's the bottom. Okay. All right, cool. Just good to clarify.
Yeah, there we go. So nobody can now say whatever.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking for the Goonies right now.
Oh, where they're from.
Trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Let's see. Also we've seen a shift in, looks like YTG is no more officially. Okay. And so football and finance. Is that a play on words, or is that, are they making fun of YTG? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't get involved in those shenanigans.
Yeah, it's fun.
No, it's not. There's nothing fun about that.
Yeah. So anyway, they won a couple formats. Women's was kind of all shook up. There was Apex won, Shrooms won. The competition was just good.
I think that just shows that you got great talent across the board.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know about you, man, but I had lots of people talking about the podcast, so that was good to hear.
You're a pretty popular dude, man. I mean, people
no, are no, you, we, yeah, we you, are.
Yeah, you're a pretty popular dude, man.
Hey, I'm, but you know what, though?
I'm just along for the ride. I'm just riding shotgun with my guy.
I will say this, when I'm officiating it, they throw it in my face. They're like, they're like, oh yeah, don't you have a podcast? Shouldn't you know this? And I'm like, really? Like,
yeah, I should.
You know, I had one guy look over at me and he was like, what have you been doing? Eating and recording podcasts all the time, man? You put on some weight.
That's funny.
I'm like, chill. Oh man. So we didn't record last week, so we took a little tiny break in the middle of the season two here, but we're back roaring as ever. I'm excited for what we have coming up. You know, we are headed to Philly in a couple weeks for that Spring John.
Spring John. We're going to get some real Philly cheesesteak while we're there, too.
That's cool. I'm fine with it. Salt, pepper,
mayo, he said. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 See, and you know what, though? Here's my issue.
Oh, here we go.
Everybody has a different, you know, like if you ask Ed, He's not even okay with mushrooms on a cheesesteak.
Well, mushrooms shouldn't go on anything. Mushrooms they grow in cow poop.
What vegetable do you like? Let's peppers, start there.
I love peppers.
Okay.
Cucumbers, tomatoes.
Okay. All right. Fair lettuce. Enough. Because every time I bring up any kind of vegetable, you're like, that should be most. Not grown.
Collard greens.
squash. Okay. What was your favorite meal in Vegas?
Favorite meal? Wasn't that crab place?
Nah, yeah,
that crab place stunk. Didn't really eat Friday. Didn't really eat Saturday. Actually, I gotta go. This is a simple answer. Okay, this is a very simple answer. And shout out to Sonny and Jen for hooking me up with PB&Js each day. Those are what got me through the tournaments. I was able to eat at least 3/4 of one each day to keep moving before I got called somewhere else. That's got to be what it was.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. That's a good answer. Jacob, where do people find the Clocks Run?
Everywhere. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Body Armor's website. Just kidding. Probably on, we need to be on Tacky Bar's website if he's got one.
Absolutely.
Shout out Tacky Bar. Anywhere you can get your podcast, we're there. We're on the tick of talk because Mr. Orange in the office is still letting the clocks run on the TikTok. Okay. It's going to be great. So you've got that. We've got, where else are we, man? We're everywhere.
We've got, oh, no.
You want to be just a chill ref? You want to look like Ant, be a chill ref? Great. You want a hoodie with Jordan's ugly mug on it? No problem. We got you. I think this second quarter, probably in a few weeks, we're going to roll out the swimsuit edition. Ant's got the Speedos ready. Get ready for the summer heat, but also stay fire with your flag football apparel. But we, you know, the nice thing is these, both the hoodie and the shirts we have made can go underneath your referee uniforms. They can be a great pre-tournament wear, be a great post-tournament wear when you're trying to cool off after working a hard day. But we're everywhere. So check us out. Make sure the best place to see us is on YouTube. You can see our ugly mugs, listen to us talk to some pretty sweet guests, especially this week. We kicked off quarter two here with going around the world. But you got to like, subscribe, and share just to get on, just to see everything we've got.
Yeah, and apparently sometimes we do color commentary for random flag football games as well.
Hey, check us out on IG Live. We're there.
You know, also, as far as our segment of What's the Call goes, send us clips. It doesn't matter if I'm the one officiating the game. I don't care. Because the cool thing about what's become of that segment is that officials from all over the world will comment. So, that's big. It helps officials kind of train their eyes, see things, understand the rules better. So please send us clips. I am more than happy to add some goofy music to it and throw it on Instagram so that people can comment. We've already had some great clips sent to us from Vegas. So we'll never take offense to any clip you send. Be nice to the refs. Let's keep it positive. We're all human. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we don't have enough coffee in the morning. Things like that. But, we're all here doing our best. I think Vegas is a testament to that. I think, like you said, the officials were just amazing across the board. So,
Here's the other thing with this What's the Call. Don't get butt hurt if you're the person who commits a foul. Everybody does it. I flag guarded. Ant flag guards every time he plays. It happens. It's not a big deal. We're not – these. I promise you these videos are not meant to attack anyone. What it is meant to do is grow the game and educate everybody. Hey, that is a foul. Hey, maybe we need to do something different. So, to the point, be nice to the officials that are talking on here. Also, we can show some grace to the players. They screw up. We screw up. Everybody screws up. I screw up this morning. I put my shoe on the left foot instead of the right one. It happens. I didn't really do that. But, it was just an example. I'm trying to make everybody feel better. You ain't got to call me weird. That's cool. Anyways, anything else you need to add?
That's it. We'll see you next week.
Next week, clock's running, baby.
Yes, sir.